Special guest,
Tim Hill.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
That's right, everyone. Just like the song says, this is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave. And as always, handling the other 50% of the hosting duties is
Trevor.
Oh, Trevor, what's going on?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. I tried to switch up the intro there a little bit because this is such an extra non-traditional episode.
Extra non-traditional, just a fabulous and unexpected chat with a musician and avant-garde hiker, Tim Hill.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was such a great conversation. Our least running-centric discussion yet with our second ever non-runner on the podcast.
We even discussed at the start of the episode whether we should try to convince him to run. Not to spoil too much, but he did express an interest in running, and then we quickly moved away from the topic and spent most of our time in other areas.
He was in no way resistant to the idea, and after a slight possible cry for help, we ignored it and then just talked about Brian Eno for 40 minutes.
Yes, we did have a great conversation, though. We will get to some running topics, I believe, either now or post-interview. There are a few important running-related topics to catch up on, but...
Yeah, that's right.
Depends kind of how you want to do it.
Maybe we should say one piece of running-related discussion off the top and then go to our interview with Tim, take a 40-minute break from running, and then come back to it and talk running again.
All right. Do you have that news?
Well, I have one. I have a correction that we got in the mailbag, actually.
Oh, excellent.
Where is this correction? I got to pull it up. We got a correction to last week. We talked about through hiking, and I asked what through hiking is. And I don't remember who defined it, whether it was you or Chad, but the correction and the correct definition of through hiking is the term is used in contrast to section hiking when talking about long distance trails. Appalachian, Pacific Crest, Long, etc. Someone who through hikes does it all in one go. Someone who section hikes does a chunk, maybe over a weekend, and then goes back and does more sections at later times.
Very interesting.
And I would just like to add an immediate correction that when I said we would do one running related topic before going to the interview, that was not even running related. That was hiking related. But
a clarification of a hiking term. Which was referenced by special guest Chad, who mentioned that through hikers actually performed quite well in the running race that he recently did, the Cocodona 250.
That's right. That ties it all back in. But why try to force it any further? Let's continue this discussion of hiking by going to our conversation with musician and hiking enthusiast, Tim Hill.
Let's do it.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Yeah, I'm in just south of LA, in the suburbs.
Oh, cool. Where?
It's now called Whittier.
Sounds familiar.
There's a few people that came out of Whittier.
Okay.
I think Tom Waits spent a little time there.
Nice.
Nomar Garcia Parra.
He was good. Yeah. I lived in Massachusetts in the 90s.
Yeah. I think he's a Whittier guy.
Oh, cool.
Richard Nixon has like his child at home here.
There's probably a few
there. Oscar De La Hoya.
Wow. There's a lot in Whittier. I feel like we try to make connections sometimes on the podcast, and I feel inspired to get at least Nomar and maybe Tom Waits on.
Sure. Nomar's probably done. I think he'd have a hard time getting Tom.
Probably.
Yeah, and mixing his voice might be a whole nother bunch of difficulties. So.
Yeah. You guys ever hear those things that Tom Waits and Bob Dylan sent to each other?
I think someone just sent me one of those. Yeah.
Like a tape recording?
No.
I don't know what it's for, really. It was interesting talking about songs like that.
Yeah, somebody sent me an outtake or one of the recordings, and it sounded like it was fake, but it was real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was now, but it was one of the Dylan ones. And anyway,
Radio Hour or something like that. I don't know.
Sounds awesome. We aspire to that level of ambiguity of whether we're being serious or if this is satire.
Perfect.
Yeah, I looked up where Whittier is on my phone while we were talking. I don't think I've been there exactly.
It's not like for me to get to the freeway to go to like downtown LA, it takes me like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like literally in a box of like four freeways and it's just like right in the middle.
For so, LA, that's like better than anywhere else. That's quicker than anyone else can get around LA.
Well, I mean, at least to the freeway, and then from the freeway to LA, it's there.
Oh, I see. I was just out there in March. Actually, I'm wearing my LA Marathon t-shirt from March. Figured for this occasion.
Perfect.
That's probably the quickest way to get around. That was awesome. It was really inspiring. 25,000 people running around. Good weather for a run.
I don't think I could handle the intensity of the crowd.
Well, it's a funny crowd. You get like
Well, just the amount, like 25,000 seems like, I don't know if there's anything that 25,000 is like worth warranting, you know?
Yeah. Mostly it was really well done. Like they did I think maybe LA's probably used to big crowds, except around the finish line, which you run by twice, which is in Century City. They somehow like stopped caring about keeping people off the roads. And so like, everybody collapses around you and there's just like a two person wide strip to run through that actually feels very unsafe.
It sounds about right that they would just drop the ball right at the very end, but
yeah. But they mostly do good and it's mostly an interesting crowd.
Guy Clark might have written a song about it.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah. So Dave, you thrive off the energy of the crowd, I feel like. But Tim, you said you're not much of a runner, but you are a hiker. And a lot of my running resembles hiking to the uninitiated. If you see me running in the woods, you might mistake it for walking or hiking even.
Yeah.
But what type of hiking do you like to do?
Simple, basic. I don't even know if it's considered hiking. I don't know what the definition of hiking is, but it's outdoors.
Yeah.
And it's on dirt. Mm-hmm. In the hills, so I guess it's considered a hike. There's like kind of like a nature preserve by my house that's undeveloped. Like there's not really any, like you're not supposed to be there. But it's just this huge open place that I think they used to drill for oil there. There you can see some old kind of like just like metal piping and stuff around. And there's like roads that are all like washed out, like very, you know, maybe 6 feet wide roads or something. So I don't know if trucks were going up there. But it's just a cool place, just kind of untouched. There's no like signs anywhere that say like, you know, this is this, or welcome to such and such. It's just kind of like this raw little piece of land.
I read a book about those types of places once. I'll have to look it up and remember the title, but yeah, these like forgotten spaces that just nobody like would consider. And they're just kind of out there. Like they talk about like the strips in between highways, like where you'd be shocked to like see a person, right? They're just these like unruly forgotten places. And there's also these places in Europe where the like water dried up, and now there's just these like graveyards of ships. Like you can find these big ship skeletons. Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like I've seen that before over there.
Yeah kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm sure at some point it'll get developed, because I mean there's houses all around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who owns, like maybe the city doesn't own the land. I don't know who owns it, but I've been kicked off a few times peacefully. They were nice about it, but Yeah, it's kind of just like a nice little sanctuary.
Who did this and with what authority?
What's that?
Who kicked you out and with what authority?
I should have asked, but I'm a very non-confrontational person. I was just like, okay. Sam. If they were nice about it, okay. I was just like, sure. I'll go. But I don't know. He was in like a white truck. He's bigger than me.
He seemed legit.
He looked like, you know, he wasn't mean, but he wasn't nice. He was just like, hey, you got to go. And I was like, I don't know. Okay.
You think he could have caught you if you were running instead of hiking?
No, because I know that place very well. And he couldn't really follow me on the truck. But I usually have my dog with me, and he's off the leash. And I wouldn't abandon my dog like that.
No. We wouldn't suggest that. And I'm not even trying to convince you to run. Although you're our second guest ever who is a non-runner. And the first one, we did spend a lot of the episode trying to convince her to run.
I would love to run. I just haven't done it in so long.
Oh.
I'm afraid to... I don't know. I'm afraid.
Well, maybe we will try to convince you then. Maybe that's the format we take with non-runners on a non-traditional running podcast. And before we forget, though, we should do the segment of the podcast that we always almost forget to do, which is where we ask our guest to introduce themselves. And so if you could tell us your name and anything else you want to tell us about yourself, but you don't have to say anything else if you don't want.
Okay. My name's Tim Hill from Whittier, California. Play music. That's about it.
Pretty good. I like that. I've been we've been spinning a lot of the music recently. We made one of your songs our song of the week, and I guess this is kind of the first time we've had a guest on who performed the song of the week the same week as the song. Is that right, Trevor?
Actually, I think possibly our second. Another LA musician, Brendan Etter.
Oh yeah,
Brendan Etter and Ensemble, sort of like minimalist sort of jazz composer kind of. Okay. You might like the vibe actually if you're not familiar, because there's your music is very different. It's got a similar sort of mellow sort of mood to it. Yeah. But Brendan might have come on a week after we featured his song. So yeah, we'll call this a first.
Well, yeah, so our song of the week this week was, what did we choose? Paris, Texas?
This is the loneliest in a long, long time. 4 years this month since I last looked in your eyes. How's our boy? Has he grown up big and strong? And does he have his father's eyes?
So interesting. I'm interested because the song is pretty old by now. It's, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But because I put out that first record, then I put out another record that didn't do well. So is I'm curious.
Giant?
Yeah. But I'm curious why Paris Tech, like, why do people like that song?
It is one of your more popular songs, though, right?
It is. It's maybe the most popular. I'm just curious as to why. Like in a just generally curious, positive kind of, like, I don't think it's a bad song. I'm just wondering why that one. I mean, it's like such a down song. Oh. You know?
Yeah.
And it's such, some of like the recording so funky. And maybe those are all the things that people like about it. But
we attribute some amount of this to the algorithm that would have served it up possibly. We had to discover your music somehow, and I think I heard the title track first and fell in love with that. And I did want to ask you about the lyrics to that, because those just repeat in my head, and I'd love if you could just say the lyrics, because I don't know if I quite heard them.
Which one?
To Payador.
At
the very end.
Oh, that's a George Harrison song.
Is it? Okay. It sounds so much like a George Harrison song.
You'd have to ask George for the lyrics, Trevor. He would know that.
Just the vocals though, right? Like the whole slide thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that track's all instrument. There's, you're talking about just the part at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the only singing on the song.
Yeah. That's from a song called Far East Man.
It's also co-written by Ronnie Wood, actually.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I wasn't sure who takes the credit on that. But it's on Ronnie Wood's album, too, I think.
Yeah, it's on his second or third solo record.
I love that.
That was just me and my buddy Sam trying to get the harmony right. Because we were playing, we had like started this like just cover band kind of called Roscoe's Band. So he was just, that was just like an iPhone recording. I just wanted to like, I don't know. I mean, that's just, it just, and I just threw it on at the end because I was just being weird. But,
It's great. It's a great move. That actually, that's funny. That used to be my answer. If people ask me Beatles or Stones, I would say Far East Man because it was the best cop out I could think of.
Yeah. But I don't even know the lyrics to that. Just that he's a Far East man.
That's the only part I know too. Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's funny that I you won't said put
down something like that.
It's funny that you said Paris, Texas feels like it is a downer because and to answer your question about why do people like it, I think a lot of the appeal, and I don't know the words to it, I realize, but I think it's got like a really like good vibe. Like it doesn't feel like a downer. Maybe if you don't know what it's about, like it almost feels like. It's got that kind of vibe that I don't know people go for maybe in certain kind of like Neil Young songs, you know, like a mellow my mind kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So that might be that might be the appeal. That might be part of what I find appealing about it.
Okay.
Definitely but, got the Neil Young harmonica styling vibe. I feel like there's different. I don't know. I mean, you know a lot more about this than I would, but I feel like there's very distinctive harmonica playing and. That has a sort of Neil Young flavor to it.
Yeah, he's very deliberate with his melodies. You know, not like, you know, Dylan would just
kind of like,
yeah,
crank on it. Yeah.
Honk that thing.
which is something I always loved with Neil Young, which is really deliberate melody lines.
Hit hang on those notes. Yeah, I mean, for me, the Paris, Texas runs for me because. I like that drawn out deliberateness. It's one of the longer songs I think on the album,
right? Which people don't usually listen to, you know.
Yeah,
it seems like you know a 2.5 minute song. I was just curious. I mean, I'm glad that people love it. I love it still, but
we review we review songs based on whether they run or not. And I ran to it today, so I can confirm it does run. And it so for. Maybe it's a lot of runners listening to it over and over on their playlists. But I think another
running song, I don't know.
It was kind of chill for running, you know, like if you're trying to settle into a groove, like not trying to, like if you're trying to run a long distance, you do want a longer song.
Do you prefer like a song like that, something mellow, or do you get into like a headbanger when you're running or like, does it change?
It changes from runner to runner. I feel like I'm usually more into high energy stuff. And when we were preparing for this episode, I felt bad that we picked such an old song as Song of the Week. So I listened to Moon Landing all the way through. Oh, yeah. Although unfortunately I didn't run to it, but Moon Landing is your latest record, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the kind of, did you listen to it, Trevor?
I've listened to it. I haven't run to it.
But, I was going
to
say, it feels like the kind of record, that would run. Kind of thing you would run to.
I like stuff that occupies the time and space a bit when I'm running, because running's not always fun, you know. Some of it's just, and you want to sort of lock into something, and for me it's I like those types of vibes.
a little more ambient instrumental.
I'll like something that, you know, sort of occasionally pick me up if I need it type of thing, but not steady. I couldn't run to steady upbeat stuff. Although some of our musician runner special guests, actually multiple, have, like Alejandro Escobedo, like, was the first, and I think maybe Sam Allen was the second, but they both referenced AC/DC as like their running music, which is very sort of like you'd think maybe traditional, like,
yeah,
I think would run for most people.
I feel like that's what I think I would I would need to listen to run, and then I would hate it, and then I would stop running.
Never run again.
And never run again. Well, I mean, like when I hike, because I'll hike for a while, I'll try and do like an hour or two. And I like to listen to a lot of ambient stuff, like a lot of Brian Eno. I just downloaded his app a couple weeks ago called Bloom. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Eno has his own app.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I think I have to get that. It's funny. We were just two episodes ago. We had Bobby Daniel, bass player from Broken Gold, on, and we were talking about running to Brian Eno music for airports.
I don't know. I don't know how it would translate running or hiking, if there's much of a difference. But this app that he has, it's like a generative music app, so you can. There's a few different kind of templates, and yeah. You'll have like, you can tap the screen, you know, make some notes, and then if you leave it, it'll like turn itself into this just ever looping, ever changing thing. So you never hear the same thing twice. It's like impossible. Or you could just start it and it'll just generate this piece, and it'll just go as long as you keep the app open.
That's wild. But
it's like, yeah, it's a really nice thing, especially like for hiking when you're out in nature.
Yeah.
Sometimes a song can really take you out of your element, but then complete silence doesn't really help either. But you could just kind of have this like elongated bell sound.
Yeah.
Kind of bouncing in your ears.
Yeah.
But you can't be like playing a Tibetan bowl the whole time you're walking around. So you need something else to do it for you.
You could, but I feel like you'd end up on the internet.
Yeah, I'd rather not, I guess. I guess I could. I like to, I got to get that. That sounds cool as hell.
Definitely. It's great. I put it on in the mornings and just do like a couple clicks.
Yeah. And then,
you know, it just kind of occupies the space.
Yeah.
You know, music can be so, it's crazy with the amount of music that you have at your fingertip. It can just be so overwhelming.
Yeah. I have Spotify, you know, but all I do is listen to the same couple of Bill Callahan songs over and over anyway.
Either that, it's like, yeah, it's still Neil Young. It's still, you know, whatever classical record, you know, it's like, it's so hard to dig for some reason and yep. find something new.
Yeah, no, I find myself repeatedly listening to the same Yo-Yo Ma plays Bach unaccompanied album. Like,
that's maybe just, you don't really need anything. I mean, what's better than that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it is. Once you've got that, it's hard to find things that are better. So when I was digging through your back catalog, one thing I found that I thought was so cool is you did this live, I think it was a live session for somebody. I can't remember what it was called. The Lagniappe sessions. Is that what it was called?
I think it's pronounced Lagniappe.
You covered two of my favorite things that I never thought I'd hear covered in the same place, which is Warren Zevon's Accidentally Like a Martyr. And then Eric Satie.
Yeah.
Which are two things I listen to all the time, and you don't usually hear in the same place.
That's great. That makes me so happy.
And then there was a third thing on there that I don't listen to, and it was, what was it? Awahuapa Chupanqui? Is that what it is?
I'm not entirely sure how to say. I mean, you could throw like an accent on there and be like Atahualpa Yupanqui or something like that.
That sounded good. That sounded great.
You're from Argentina, so I don't know how the you know, their accents different and stuff like that. Yeah. But his music is, you know, I love that kind of stuff. That just kind of solo classical guitar stuff.
Yeah, that was a great little 3-song session. What was that? And did they just say play whatever you want?
Yeah, pretty much. It's Aquarium Drunkard. You guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
Trevor is.
Their blog, right?
Yeah. They're based out of LA. So they just do those sessions every now and then. They'll hit up an artist or whatever and ask for, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 covers. Usually like coincides with like a release. So like when Giant came out,
mm-hmm.
they did the Lanyup sessions and then some. I mean, those songs were already recorded. I didn't record them specifically for that. They were just songs that I had done in my room.
Cool.
From a range of, well, actually, I think the Sati piece, I had recorded it for the Giant record, but didn't put it on there.
Which Sati did you do?
The Nocian number one.
Thank you for saying that, because I didn't want to mispronounce 3 things in one topic.
I don't think it's an actual word.
Like he made it up?
I think it's made up.
Okay.
But from what little I know of French, I think it's pronounced Nocian number one.
Okay.
Like it, you know, it's just like the darker version of the really famous...
The
Gymnopédies.
Yeah. I was in France last year speaking French so poorly, so I don't even want to attempt any of these right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's amazing. That's a great choice. And yeah, something I didn't expect to pop up, you know?
I mean, that's the best thing you could hear.
You know? Yeah.
Don't get it. Because I could have been able to do like some Neil Young covers or something. But...
That's too expected. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so much. I mean, the Payador stuff and the Giant stuff, it's kind of just where I was at that time. And that's just the stuff that took off. And that's how people would maybe know me or not know me. But there's so much more, like, you know, from the moon landing stuff and, you know, classical music. And I got libraries full of electronic music and ambient, you know, that's just. That's just what my name's kind of attached to, but there's lots of stuff I like to do.
That's cool. Yeah. I listened to, I didn't make it all the way through Giant, although I would like to say the song Calico Runs.
Love Field is a garden where we bury our seeds and how it's grown filled with misty dreams.
But I just wanted to mention that real quickly so I could edit in a snippet of the song before we move on and say, what made you want to, like, yeah, what inspired Moon Landing? Since it's just such a, it's so different, you know, where it's, and where'd that come from, kind of?
Well, I like space. I sit and watch like YouTube videos on space a lot. I got a telescope for Christmas last year. So I would spend a lot of time outside at night. I sound like such an old man. That's just what I do. I don't go out anymore. You know? I just sit with my dog and my telescope. It wasn't like a new thing that hit me. Like, oh, I should try something different. You know, I've got all kinds of things. But I just bought this new synthesizer. And was excited, and I can do a lot of stuff, and like if I get inspired, I can like record a lot in like a short frame of time. So I mean, that was like 2 days of just messing around with the synthesizer and I was like, all right, that's done. Like, by like the third day, I was like, I don't want to do anymore. Like,
I'm over this. That phase is over. Do you think you'll be doing more stuff like that, or you got it out of your system?
I have some more, another one that I just finished, I don't know, a couple days ago. I don't know if, when or how that would come out. I had put out that EP, the Shades of Green EP, late last year, but that's going to be turned into a full length.
Oh, nice. I'm
currently getting pressed right now, so there'll be a vinyl for that, which is a little more on the ambient, kind of moody, jazzy, neoclassical side, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
The other thing Moonlanding reminded me of that it either maybe you know, or if not, maybe you'd like, I heard about it on another podcast. It might've been like Radio Lab or something. And they were talking about how the guys on the Apollo mission to the moon each were able to bring some music.
And, yeah.
And Neil Armstrong brought this record of like, that he loved, of like music for the moon. And it's like 1950s theremin music.
Yeah. It was either that or like country and Western. That I think some of the other astronauts brought. But yeah.
One of the other guys claimed he brought Fly Me to the Moon. But people say maybe he made that up. Or maybe that's a rumor. Yeah.
That seems like a very like age appropriate, like time appropriate joke.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like it's hard to tell whether that's serious or not, because that he could have, but you know, but also that's right on time. So it's funny.
I mean, there's that Brian Eno record Apollo, because they did that documentary I think in like the 80s maybe, that he did the music for about the Apollo mission. Yeah. And there's all the, it's like all that footage and stuff like that, but he was saying that a lot of the astronauts had brought country western, so he had kind of integrated that into some of the soundtrack music.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
because that's what they liked, because they were, I don't know.
Yeah,
probably military guys from the South.
Yeah. Exactly. Cool.
Makes sense. Just give him Mr. Spaceman by the Birds.
Yeah. Or Rocket Man. I don't know if Rocket, well, the song obviously wasn't out then, but.
Oh, yeah. I know. I like thinking about like space music from the early days of space exploration.
Yeah. Like the futurism from that time where they're like, this is, we got it. This is what the future's like. And then it's just some random theremin concept album, Martians. Not too different than today. I mean, that's kind of what we still do just as humans.
Eno must've been so stoked when he got the gig to make music for the, for the Apollo documentary. Tim, Eno must have been so stoked when he got that gig making music for
the,
right? Well, would if someone asked you, would you make music for a running documentary?
Yeah, for sure.
Think it would work.
What I would love to do is make music for something other than being like an artist. I think that kind of like interest has kind of passed me by a little bit of being like the guy on stage, but I'd love to make music. I think that would be so cool. So whether it's running or space or whatever, I mean, there's like so many things I could pull from, you know.
Did you ever watch or listen to Grizzly Man? Richard Thompson did like solo guitar soundtrack to this documentary called Grizzly Man, about a guy that went out to live with the grizzlies.
I've seen Grizzly Man, but I can't even picture or can't even imagine the soundtrack. I'll have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, same. I've seen it, but I can't think of what the music is.
All I can hear is that guy's voice.
I can see you doing something like that. I feel like it would fit.
I mean, I would love to, whether or just like maybe like a low budget Western or something, or
like Neil Young's score for Dead Man.
Yeah,
exactly. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, hopefully Jarmusch is listening.
our listeners are taking down notes about all these obscure ambient and sort of oddball soundtracks from the past 60 or so years.
Yeah.
I walked by Jarmusch on New Year's Day once. That's like a New York City thing. That's the kind of thing that just wouldn't happen in LA.
You walked by him?
Yeah, like on the street, like in opposite directions.
And then what happened? Did anything happen?
No, it just I registered who it was afterwards. I was like, oh, cool. He sticks out, you know? I mean, he really stands out. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of all you really want. You could risk saying something to someone like that. And
yeah,
you know, you don't know how they're going to react, especially someone like him.
No, I wouldn't stop him on the street. Not my style.
Maybe if he was walking with John Lurie or something.
That might be hard to pass up.
If it was just John Lurie by himself, I feel like John would be cool.
Yeah. Maybe if he was like in a bar. I used to hang out at a bar in that neighborhood that a lot of people like that would show up at.
Where do you guys live in New York?
I just moved. I just moved on June 1st to Chinatown.
Okay.
Which is awesome. But I was living like in the West Village.
Okay. I'm not super familiar. My sister lives in New York, but she lives in like deep Brooklyn.
Oh, nice. I lived in Brooklyn for 10 years, but not that deep.
No, she lived out by Coney Island for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's even like, not even by the water. She's just, I don't know. She works at like a bakery out there. Mm-hmm. I've never seen her place. But she's like, yeah, there's nothing like cool around it.
It's like, well, yeah, it's probably cool in its own way, but it's not a tourist destination, right?
Yeah.
Right now I'm in the Lower East Side, but I'm in a hotel. I'm here for work. I actually live outside Boston.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, it was just out there. I grabbed a slice. There's a lot of activity. It's part of town.
Hot. How is it in LA? It's probably not hot and gross like it is here. It's probably perfect.
It's warm. It was like 89 today. Mm. It's relatively dry too. It's not like, I know New York can get pretty brutal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a little rough. And then Chinatown gets some extra intense smells, I think. Although, Trevor, I didn't realize you were so close. You're probably only a few blocks away.
Yeah, we should go meet up after this.
Okay, let's do it. Tim, I'd invite you out as well, but you're farther away.
No, I don't think I could get on a plane anytime soon again.
Okay. Well, okay, we do this on a timer. We're winding down on time. So I was wondering
if it was my... That was just my computer saying that's enough. Or...
Oh, I don't know. Can you guys see the timer? I thought only I could see it.
I can actually see it this time. I usually can't, but it's the constraint imposed on us by the free version of Zoom that we've decided is part of our thing that we do here.
It's part of our aesthetic.
Yeah. Otherwise, we could just talk ambient music for God knows how long.
Sure.
And I would. There's a lot of Brian Eno ambient albums, and we could just go through them all one at a time and rank them as far as which one runs the best.
Well, real quick, top.
Top running ones? I'd go number one is ambient. What is that?
Top Brian Eno record.
Well, probably Music for Airports, but then I like Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, which I know is not ambient. And then I like...
Like those early ones too.
I mean that one's good too. What about you, Tim? Do you have a favorite?
I'd probably go with the Apollo one, but more recently he put out one with his brother called Mixing Colors. That's very cool. Yeah, it's very, very, very pretty. I think it's like most of like Roger Eno's compositions, but then like Brian did the kind of sound design of like what the notes would sound like, you know? So some of it's kind of like kind of piano sounding. It's just really interesting, but really basic. There's not much to it, but that's it. Those two.
Nice. Well, we should plug, I'll plug your fellow LA musician, Brendan Etter, that we mentioned earlier. You should check out Cape Cod Cottage on your next hike. It's a pretty cool concept.
What is it?
Cape Cod Cottage.
Pod?
Cape Cod Cottage. It's a concept. It's a concept album where he becomes retired dentist Edward Blankman, who in his post work life out on his retirement on Cape Cod records a jazz concept album. That's sort of the story behind it. But it's pretty ambient, pretty cool.
That was great. I just saved it to my library. So
nice.
It's pretty great. All right, guys, we got 34 seconds left. Anything else we think the world needs to know about any of the important topics we've discussed? Tim, anything you want to plug?
Probably not. Do I have anything I want to plug? No. Okay. Life's pretty quiet, you know. That record will be out, I think, this year. So looking forward to that. But
yeah,
other than that, just chilling.
Can't wait to hear it. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Thanks so much, Tim. That was a really awesome discussion. I totally love that.
That was incredible. Thank you, Tim. So great to have you on.
Yeah, what a cool episode. We covered a lot of topics we don't always cover, and as we've done for maybe 3 or 4 weeks in a row, we talked about Brian Eno.
We have, yeah. We are quickly becoming quite Brian Eno centric. In the time since recording with Tim and now recording this, I actually downloaded the Bloom app, Brian Eno's ambient music generation app.
Sweet.
Decided to check out on my run tomorrow.
Which is what you did while I was walking over to your hotel. As I learned during our interview, you were just a 20-minute walk or 15-minute walk away from my apartment.
That's right. So a lot of firsts. First artist on for their own song of the week. First time we're recording in the same room.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Quite exciting.
And so I guess now we should talk running.
Talk running. So by this point, I mean, even by this point upon recording, it's rather old news. But as we do on our podcast, which is ours to do what we want with, we are reporting some news well after the fact. And by the time this is released, it will be even further after the fact. But we had a big ultra race recently. Some might say the most famous in all of the US, the Western States 100.
And we made some predictions for that.
We did make predictions. Two of three, or technically four, we got right.
Hey. Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Not bad for inexperienced predictors.
That's right. So as foretold by the Power Motion Picnic Hour, popular runner Jim Pergolesi indeed did not start. Katie Scheid did win the women's race.
Woo.
In a phenomenal performance, and had a little chatter in the mailbag afterwards, which was really nice. And she did not place top 10. She did place 13. So that was just a minor miss. Special guest Jeff Colt, however, did not have a great race. Ended up DNFing. Had to tap out.
It happens. It happens. It happens to the best of us. But congratulations, everybody, and congratulations to us for being so great at predicting these things.
Yeah, congratulations. Great predictions. And final piece of reporting, we had our top fortissimo, Tyler Green.
Nice.
Top fortissimo overall.
How old was he?
40.
Okay. I think, yeah, that makes sense. The fastest fortissimo runner is probably usually a 40-year-old runner.
We'll see. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll have the data analyst intern do a little work on that question.
Okay. Yeah, we'll crunch some numbers and try to verify that with some actual statistics instead of pure speculation.
Yeah, but great performance. Another just solid fortissimo performance. Top 10. Well done, Tyler.
Oof, yeah, well done. Way to go.
Yeah.
Wow. Exciting race recap. What else should we talk? Week in running? How's your week in running?
Yeah, I had a great week in running. fortunate enough to be up in Vermont for some of my week in running. Did some of that good old hike running up some mountains and down some mountains, and got a lot of elevation in for the week, which felt good. And the running's been great recently. I did talk recently in my bit of a running rut about how I was always sort of neutral on my weeks in running, and whether it was good or bad previously, I'd just say it was a good week in running. It's been a pretty good streak of running weeks over here.
Nice. The rut is over.
Yeah, I'm out of the rut. I fell in love with running again.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm sure our listeners are excited to hear it. I know I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, you know, and if you don't, that's fine. We're transitioning nicely to a Brian Eno themed podcast. So we'll survive, even if you said you don't like running anymore.
We appeal to everyone, so long as you like either running or ambient music.
Yeah, exactly. That's a large segment of the population.
Yeah. How was your week in running?
My week in running was good. I did a nice 5 miles today on the treadmill, testing out our song of the week and some other Tim Hill music, which was really enjoyable. You know who else has had a good week in running is our very own female gear shed testing correspondent. She's recently begun training for the New York Marathon, which will be her second marathon. And she's actually sitting in the room with us. Maybe she wants to give us a little update about how her...
This is very exciting.
How her training went today.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I guess I've started slowly. I'm running with this running app called Runna that I actually really, really like. I used it for my last marathon.
Is that from Boston?
I don't think it is. I'm not sure.
Sounds like it, but maybe, yeah, that's just the pronunciation. But anyway, please continue.
Oh, I see. Yes. Good joke, Dave. That was great.
We have a lot of listeners in Boston, so you got to kind of, you know, give a little shout outs for them.
Yeah, no, totally. But like, I think I said, so because I've completed one marathon already with the app, they ask you to like put in, you know, those specs and then what your next marathon should be. So I did pretty good with my first marathon. So I put all that in. So now it wants me to run the New York Marathon at like 4 hours and 30 minutes. And I'm definitely feeling the heat because all of the newer trainings are like, some of them are way too hard for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like the first one is like a tempo thing that's like makes you run super freaking fast. I don't know. I have not completed one yet.
Well, it's good that you've brought this up on pod because hopefully our listening audience can chime in and give you some advice. Until we hear from them, I'll start off with some of my unknowledgeable suggestions. And I'm just going to say you're going to need a cool pair of shoes.
Definitely.
Yeah. But now it's nice to have this on the record, the goal of a 4:30 New York Marathon in November.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we'll make sure to check back with you and update our listeners about your training progress.
So, you know what I'm going to say? You just got to slow it down. Slow it down out there.
That's the key to running faster. That is what I tell people when they say, like, what's the secret to running? I'm like, just run real slow.
Run real slow. Yeah.
That's our advice here.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That was some much needed real running talk this week.
We fit it in just barely.
Just barely got it under the wire. All right. Well, I don't know. Are there any Eno albums we forgot to mention?
I mean, probably many. I was struggling off the top of my head to come up with the names of good ambient, you know, albums. So I went right to the early ones. I do like Eno's sort of glam period too.
Here
Come the Warm Jets.
We didn't mention that one. It's a classic.
Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy, which you mentioned. Another Green World still has shades of that. And then from there, it's basically ambient.
That's our guarantee here on the Power Motion Picnic Hour. We'll name every Eno album we like twice. In case you didn't write them down earlier, those are the ones we mentioned. And let's not forget about Cluster and Eno.
Cluster and Eno, music from airports.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, is there anything else or did we cover everything?
I think we've done it all.
Okay. Well, I hope this recorded, this experimental form of podcasting, because I can't wait for everyone to hear it and to hear all the corrections come flying in the mailbag. And yeah, until next time.
Honored.
Special guest,
Tim Hill.
This is the Power Mode.